Capellini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Six members of city council are present. Mrs. Westphal is excused. She is traveling back from visiting her family. And with six city councilmen here, a quorum does exist. I welcome all of you to our city council meeting. The scouts have been here since about 7 o'clock, and to the rest of you that are here, thank you for being here. At this time, I invite the scouts to lead us in our pledge of allegiance, including Mr. Hanem, being an Eagle Scout.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're glad you're all here tonight. There are a few copies of the agenda for the meeting on the two side tables. They're the 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper. It is a short agenda, at least on paper tonight. It may not be in length. But we're going to talk about additions to the agenda. We're up to item number 3. And as agenda item 3A, I would like to add election of a president pro tem, since our president, Mrs. Westphal, is absent this evening. So that'll be 3A. Also, in agenda item 8, we have an executive session on the agenda to discuss the possible purchase of property. We would like to expand the scope of the executive session to also consider potential litigation. So that happens as the last agenda item in executive session. Are there additional items from members of city council?
Would it be possible, Capellini, to add an update for the Monroe Street Toledo Memorial?
It is. Let's add that as just as 7A, if that's okay.
7A?
Yes.
Okay.
So these are the Monroe Street Haroon improvements. Is that what, the safety improvements?
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The current project that's in design and discussion with ODOT.
Yes.
Okay. That'll be 7A. Other items? Mr.
Mayor, I believe we have the owners of Funnigan's here tonight. Gentlemen, would you want to speak with council tonight?
Sure.
Could we get a place for them?
Typically, we've been putting Funnigan's issues at the top so your neighbors don't have to stay, and we'll do the same thing for you. So we'll add you as 4A.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Are the neighbors here tonight?
They're not.
Okay. All right. Other issues? Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to ever so briefly mention Heritage Sylvania and their year end.
Let's make that 7B. All right. Anything further from members of City Council? If not, Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Snore?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Shaw?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the agenda is approved as amended for this evening. Added agenda item is 3A, election of a president pro tem.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Hanem.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to nominate Mark Lukey as president pro tem for this evening.
There a second?
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Rather than looking for another, let's have a vote on that. All in favor of Mr. Lukey being our president pro tem this evening, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Lukey will serve as our president pro tem. Congratulations, Mr. Lukey.
For making it a short agenda tonight, Mr. Mayor.
It grew a little. All right. So we're on to agenda item 4, which is approval of our meeting minutes from our last meeting on November the 18th. Mr. Lukey.
Mr. Mayor, council has been provided minutes of the meeting of November 18th, 2019. I'd like to move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from our last meeting on November 18th be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries. All right, at this point, I want to let the scouts know that you are not from here required to stay for the whole meeting. If you're up against your schedule or need to get home to attend to other homework or things like that, feel free to get up at any time. But you are very welcome to stay for as much or all of the meeting as you decide. We will be going into executive session as agenda item 8, and you will have to leave the room at that time. But at this time, then, let's move on to added agenda item 4A. We have the owners of the Funnigan's Paintball course here with us this evening. And I don't know whether you guys, well, it looks like you do want to talk. You need to come on up here, tell us who you are for the record and what your address is. Scouts, we talked about this issue a little bit earlier in the evening. These are the owners of the paintball factory, or the paintball
establishment.
All right, welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. My name is Jason Swearingen. This is my father's, Kevin Swearingen, and we are the owners of the Funnigan's. The address there is 5340 Centennial Road, Centennial Lot, 435 Seville. We started the business back in 2008. We've been running solely as the owners the entire time. I know you guys pretty much know the backstory of a lot of this. There's been some heated discussion about paintballs going to the paintball fence and drains being blocked off, and a lot of situations go back and forth between us and the neighbors back there. We've made significant changes to the way we play paintball in order to try to better the situation. We've spent in excess of $60,000 to put a permanent fence up at 21-foot height, where we were required, actually what city or city township requested us to put it at. They limited us to actually. We were talking about going higher than that, and they didn't want to go any higher. They limited it to 21 feet. And so with the requirements, you know, with the request, we did sell it and significant cost to us. We've done other major changes out there. We used to have what they call speedball. It's a competition style paintball, typically what you see on ESPN, things like that. It's paintball, televised paintball. And it's, the field's made with approximately 40 to 50 air-filled bunkers. This drew in teams from as far away as West Virginia for us on a regular basis. It also caused a lot of glancing blows that bounced over the fence. We removed that, this is about a couple years ago, at the cost of hundreds, I mean, we've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars of business a year by taking that out, trying to make it better for the neighbors behind us. You know, we've sat down at meetings, done the mediation, you know, with the request of the city here. I'm not sure if it was you, but one of the police chief asked us to see if, hey, can we try changing the direction of play in the field? We've done that. Instead of even shooting towards the houses back there, we've completely changed and shoot it completely opposite direction away from the houses. According to them, it hasn't made a difference. Not sure how, but, you know, we made significant changes. You know, we've stopped using the two-story buildings on our fields. You know, all this, every time we do this, it's a cost to us. Less paint the shot, less money we make, it's less fun to the customers out there. You know, changing the direction of playing on the play fields is equivalent to playing football the width of the fields to the length of the field. It significantly changes the gameplay of the game. You know, it takes the playability out of it. You know, we've done all this trying to appease, you know, trying to make things better for the neighbors. And everything we do just doesn't seem to make a difference. You know, we did a test of 80,000 rounds of paintballs. This is probably a month and a half ago now. We normally shoot white fill paintballs. All of our paintballs are custom made for us. We run 80,000 rounds of an orange fill, which is completely out of our ordinary for us. We shot every one of those 80,000 rounds plus some on one day. And we watched to see what the police reports came back. According to the police reports, approximately 10 paintballs in the orange color put in field. So that means we lost 1.25 paintballs for every 10,000 that we shot, which means we contained over 99.999875% of our paintballs. I don't know how we're going to ever get to perfect. I don't know if there is a perfect. But in our case, we can test that we significantly, I mean, substantially contain our paintballs. You know, 10 paintballs at 80,000 rounds, equivalent to losing the golf ball off the golf course once a year. I don't know how to fix that. You know, we've had discussions with Tim Burns about raising the fence, and it's something that we're discussing right now. However, it goes against the conditional use permit that we run under. So they want us to stop all the paintballs by violating another condition of our conditional use permit. Which one do we do? So that's what we're going to try to talk about and see what we can do about this. We're not trying to be the a-hole neighbors at the homeowner behind this containment, because that's what we are. I know I've spoken with a few other, another homeowner back there that lives in Palisade behind us. And according to her, word to me, the number of paintballs that occur in the fence, the hundreds of paintballs that they tell the news and all that, are highly exaggerated numbers. According to the police reports we see, hundreds of paintballs is a highly exaggerated number. Do I see paintballs put in the fence? Yes, I know they do. But is it the numbers that they claim? No, it's not. 10 out of 80,000 rounds, that's, like I said, over 99.999% of our container property.
Mr. Sverga, just so that we understand, 80,000, we get that. How many paintballs a weekend do you go through?
It varies. A lot of it's weather dependent on how busy we are. When we buy paintballs, we buy them by 250,000, 240,000 vehicles at a time. This time of year tends to slow down.
But on a good weekend.
On a good weekend, we can go through probably 200,000 rounds.
So that obviously is three or four times the number of balls.
Exactly, yes.
Chief, you have any update for us on police reports for the last couple of weekends?
I didn't see any when I did a review after the Thanksgiving weekend. I didn't see any yet.
There were some the previous weekend.
Right, the previous weekend, I think we had two reports.
So that's good. I think it's good that you gentlemen took the time to come in here and represent yourselves, because we've heard a lot from the other side. I'm frankly quite surprised they're not here tonight.
We would have been here, but we were actually asked not to come.
It's probably that we didn't want to have any disturbances in the house. That's probably a good idea. I don't know. Though I understand you are going to the Board of Zoning Appeals tomorrow to present your case to them. You're also going to have a chance to present it in front of a couple of judges in the future as well. Okay. Thank you for taking the time to be here.
I'd like to ask if there's anybody here who's a golfer. Any of you guys golf?
I do.
You ever slice a golf ball?
Well, sure I do.
Okay. Our paintballs are not being delivered to shot over that fence. The only way we can figure that they glance off of people, they'll glance off of objects. But when they go up, they go over the fence and they come down in the backyards or hit a roof. Once in a while, we've heard they go off to the road. Now, it goes off to the road, it's been shot over the fence. That's not a glance. But when they go up and come down, it's an error. It's like slicing the golf ball. Nobody's doing the delivery. Nobody wants to throw their paintballs away. And that's the easiest to do. The most likely scenario we can compare this to. We've been there 8 years before any of these people moved in. And, there's some culpability on their part, in our opinion, and into some laws that when you move next to the nuisance, that's kind of on you. They move next to a railroad track, then they complain about trains going by, move by the airport, complain about the noise, move next to the golf course, complain about golf balls. We've already gone to, they filed a lawsuit against us a few years ago. I don't recall exactly, it was quite a significant amount.
$25,000 per person.
Yeah. Well, we went to the judge two hearts. And, what essentially did, neither of us were in there, our attorneys went in to meet with them at a preliminary hearing. And it essentially boiled down to, he asked them, has there been any injuries? No. There hadn't been any injuries. Has there been any property damage? No. hadn't been any property damage. And he told them, then I don't want to hear this case. You know, there's no damage, they're not hurting anything. Golf balls, we happen to live next to a golf course, right? Next to a golf course. We were there for the golf course, was it? It used to be a side park. We've had damage on our property. Broken windshields on cars, dents in the hoods and stuff. These don't damage anything. Is it a nuisance? Yes. Is it controlled? Yes. We have, we've never played without grass on our field. And the one that I believe of our grass is sitting right back there.
Yeah, he's spoken to us before.
Yeah,
right.
And we're a conscientious guy, and, you know, he teaches our reps and guides our reps and make sure they're doing their job. These people that come out here play paintball, they're not inherently bad people. Most of them are children out there playing birthday parties. The bachelor parties, or they're, you know, the prison guards come down to do a special response training. We've had quite a few of those kind of things. But that's, people don't come out there and, hey, I'm going to try to see if I can get those houses back here. That's not their intent. They're out there, they would much rather shoot something right in front of them and watch the paintball hit the ground. Or hear the noise it makes when it hits it. They're shooting it out, you know, over top of the fence there. You can't hardly see that if it would go over there anyway. It doesn't do much for you. These kids just, they don't think that way. Anything that's going over top of that fence is an errant ball.
Well, let me be clear about this, okay? If you hit a golf ball off a golf course, and you damage property, you're responsible for that liability. That doesn't fall on the homeowner, it falls on the guy who hit the golf ball, okay? Here's the bottom line on this, okay? You are not allowed to dispose of your trash from your business operation on your neighbor's property. That's the law. That's zero. You're allowed to have zero paintballs escape your property. If you have, let me finish, if you have 10 escaping from shooting 80,000, when you shoot the 240,000 that you buy generally, that means you have 30, which means over 3 days you have hundreds of paintballs escaping your property. And that is what our neighbors are telling us. And you are damaging their property. There are discoloration on the siding, discoloration on the porches, discoloration on the furniture that they had sitting on the back, and I know that because I've seen it. And that's your responsibility. Now, I don't know what happened in the civil lawsuit, but we're going to enforce our code. I've provided, and actually, I've provided our law director with a long list of the things that you, of the various code sections and Ohio Revised Code sections that you violate by operating this business with the knowledge that you have waste paintballs escaping off your property onto your neighbor's property. So that's, you have no excuse for that under the law. And you will either fix this or you will be penalized for it according to the requirements of the law. So I understand you're doing all you can. Then that's not enough. You have to do more. And you cannot dispose of your business garbage on the property of the people who live next to you. There's no exception. Not one. It's zero. And if you do dispose of one, you're violating the law and you'll be held accountable for it. I just want to make sure you understand what our position is on this. We're holding you to that standard, and we could hold them to that standard if we chose to.
Well, to clarify, I believe that projectiles and air guns are specifically mentioned in the code. Is that right?
Bingo. What we are pursuing at this point is the violation of the specific provision.
So there's a law on the books in our city code that specifically mentions your instance of air projectiles from air guns. So, you know, a golf course would have different things talking about, you know, a driver hitting a ball off the tee. It's about us enforcing the code that's on the books.
Yeah. One thing, we were forced to annex into the city against our will, and believe me, we do not want to be here. conditional use permit that you guys were trying to read in one way, and they didn't read it that way. And we were annexed in, we were forced into the city. You know, we were never told that you guys were trying to shut us down for several years before that, and we wouldn't even hit the city. And I would think that there's some, that we should have at least been told that, you know, before we annexed in.
Be a good neighbor and stop shooting those paint. Be a good neighbor and stop shooting paintballs into your neighbor's yard. Just stop it. You can physically do it. And if you can't, then stop shooting the paintballs.
We've been asked to put a net up 34 feet. 35 feet. And we're willing to do this. But there's stipulations on it that if we lose one golf ball, or even one paintball, if that net is put up, that they can change it and make us do more. And also have a hotline to the police that if we lose one golf ball, they call up one paintball, I'm sorry, then we, they call us with a hotline, notify us that we do, and we have to send everybody home. So some 10-year-old kid, some little kid like this, have any of you guys come over to the Funnigans and play paintball?
You're not going to win this argument. The bottom line is zero.
Well, the way we look at it.
And construct your, and construct it, and construct it accordingly, please.
And the thing that you've done is attempted to shut us down.
No. We don't want to shut you down. We want you to stop shooting paintballs onto your neighbor's property.
All right. I think that's clear. We aren't going to settle this in this room. Mrs. Hussman, last question.
I'd like to ask the gentleman a question. Your business is specific to your business, but there's other businesses like yours in other communities. Have you done any research of any sort to try and find out how other people have managed to keep their paintballs on their property so that it's not a problem? I think that, okay, good. So did you get some answers that you can implement and take care of your problem?
The problem is we can't find anybody where residential's encroaching on people.
See, there's the problem, yeah.
All right.
Can't help you there.
All right, we appreciate you coming in. We aren't going to settle it here. It's going to be settled in courtrooms. Thank you for your attendance.
Thank you, sir.
All right, I would now like to move the agenda on to agenda item number 5, which has to do with the SOMO project. City Council is aware that as part of this project, we need to install or repair and replace the retaining wall that is on the Monroe Street side behind existing businesses that go down to the SOMO property. This was discussed in the past. We have some funds set aside in the contract to take care of this. And tonight we have on the agenda a proposal to have an engineering firm do the engineering of that retaining wall. Mr. Shaw, you proposed to prepared to talk about that?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you had mentioned before, you know, we had this retaining wall kind of in the works for about a year and a half since April of 2018. We entered into an agreement with Northwest Consultants to design the piece that's specifically behind the Georgiakopoulos property. And so those plans and specifications were completed in May of 2019, so we were ready to go. Since that time, some developments have happened, the biggest one being that the city has purchased Joe's Tire Shop. That's the common name around here, but most of you guys are familiar with that. We purchased that property, and that also has a dilapidated retaining wall that's falling apart as well. So, you know, it makes sense that we haven't started construction. We haven't entered into, you know, a contract with a contractor to go ahead and see if we can extend that retaining wall behind Joe's Tire as well. And so that's what the proposal is in front of you, is to amend the contract with Northwest Consultants. But I should add that that firm was acquired by a new firm called Fishbeck. And so we wanted to have that new firm, you know, continue with the plans and the specifications right where they left off. And so that's what's in front of you, is to design the extension of the wall that we had previously designed. So
we have in your council packets tonight Ordinance 97, 2019, to extend the contract that was Northwest Consultants to the new firm, which is Fishbeck, still located on Central Park West, in the amount of $21,915 to get this project ready to bid. Joe, do we have an estimated cost, or is that scope of the work of the engineer?
So the original piece behind the Georgiakopoulos property was right around $320,000. I don't know the exact lineage that we're adding into it, but I would say roughly a third to maybe double that. So we'll see what the price comes in at, but you know, that's what we're talking about.
This was included in the calculations when we sold the property.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
So at one point we talked about putting stairs from those top properties down to the SOMO. Is that still in our plan, or is that part of this?
We have not gotten to that point. I do know that that's a discussion or a topic that's been talked about previously. So that for sure will enter in and see what types of options we have.
The latest I have is that the SOMO property owners are not in favor of that. If you stand there and look at it, they can go over to Main Street or they can come up into Monroe Street, and they're not sure that that's something they want. But we're going to study it because we are going to have the park still on the corner that we could come up to.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, the biggest piece of this was coordinating with First Energy. I mean, they have transmission facilities that run right next to this retaining
and big
wall.
Foundations under those.
Exactly. So coordinating that with them, that they can have access to their facilities, that we can construct the thing. There's a lot of complications with a simple retaining wall like this, but that's definitely a big part of this too.
Okay. So we're hoping for council's, and we recommend council's approval of Ordinance 97 to hire Fishbeck. Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce Ordinance Number 97-2019. All members of council previously receiving copies, I would like to read by title only. Accepting the proposal of Fishbeck to provide professional engineering services for the South of Monroe SOMO retaining wall improvement project, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $21,915 and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 97-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 97-2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 97-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 97-2019 is approved. For the scouts that are still here, looking a little tired, but the scouts are still here. First off, I turn to Mrs. Hussman to introduce that legislation because she is the chairman of the Building and Grounds Committee, and since the city owns the tire store now, that is a Building and Grounds issue, and she was the reader of that. And we went through two motions. The first motion was to read by title only and to waive the second and third readings. Both of those items are required by our charter. But we don't do that anymore because people can have Xerox copies or see these ordinances online in advance. So we're able to accelerate the system and save a few trees that way. And then if it's expected to be a supermajority of council, at least five rather than four, we can pass something in one night rather than go for three readings that it would take to have just four people vote for it. So that's what happened in those two motions. That's the only ordinance we have tonight. We're going to move on to agenda item six, which is committee reports. Are there any committee reports to be made? I'm not aware of any committee meetings that have happened in the last couple of weeks. And also committee, also, are there any new committee referrals? Agenda item seven. There are two added agenda items that we should discuss. Agenda item 7A, requested by Mrs. Capellini, is an update on the Monroe Street Arun Road improvements. And I turn to Mr. Shaw for that update tonight.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we have secured an engineering consultant on that project. They have been working for a couple months now to develop what's called stage one plans for ODOT.
They submitted those, I believe, on November 15th, which basically is stage one plans as their preliminary concept of what the improvements are going to look like. So we're to that point. I haven't quite made it all the way through my review in full honesty just yet, but we'll have that turned around. And then we've also scheduled two meetings with immediate property owners. We've scheduled one in January for Kroger, and we've scheduled one in December with Toledo Memorial Park. And so we'll be ready to move forward with those meetings and kind of discuss and get their feeling for what the stage one plans look like and understand their concerns and address them accordingly.
So I was asked a question last week about the retaining wall being the stone wall. Is that part of the plan, the stone wall, the east stone wall between their east gate and that apartment building? Is that being removed?
So in the stage one plans, it does show that as being an impact. We can't accomplish some of the project goals with that. So, but we're not really sure to the nature of what it is. If we take a wall out, we would put one back, that type of thing. But we're, like I said, we haven't even discussed that with them yet. So we're still in the processes of learning what everything is going to happen with that.
Just as a, like a background side note, 10 years ago when we were looking at the Gateway project and making all these improvements, the one thing that everybody agreed on was that stone wall adds a huge amount of character to Monroe Street. I mean, there wasn't one person that didn't pick that. And then we designed things around that. So I would just would encourage us to not think about removing that.
I understand the sensitivity completely. As a part of even our process, we do archaeological studies on it, understand the history of it, learn the impacts of what this would be. So there's a lot that goes into it, you know, and I understand your concern very much so.
Thank you.
I see that Jeff Clegg is here tonight. Jeff, would you like to ask any questions on behalf of Toledo Memorial Park? I know that the access in and out, come on up to the podium while you're coming. I know that an issue to you and your board has been accessibility to that east gateway. And I have discussed that several times with Kevin Aller to talk about what flexibility is there. We're being driven, the project is being driven by ODOT, but we have been able to negotiate the fact that obviously right turn from east westbound Monroe Street can remain, and we've almost got it to the point that left turn out of the cemetery can remain. That's all in the formative stages from the east gate. What they absolutely are telling our engineers is that the left turn from eastbound Monroe Street cannot be there because we need the queuing space for turning south onto Haroon. But anybody coming east on Monroe Street can turn at Haroon Road and get into the cemetery. I was in there today and I saw a funeral coming in. It was a westbound funeral procession on Monroe Street and they came in the east gate. That's not going to be impacted. But the left turn out of that, we're trying to keep that in there. That does not affect queuing space. That is not solid yet, but we're working on it.
Mr. Mayor, we'd be glad to concede that point. The left turn on westbound.
Yeah, eastbound, you mean?
Yes, eastbound. Excuse me. But thank you for letting me come up and speak.
Sure.
I'm Scott Johnson, our real estate attorney.
Hello.
With us, and when we received these preliminary plans, I think we received no less than maybe four different drawings for this project, none of which really made me very happy personally. But this latest plan did show the removal of our 100-year-old wall. I have to tell you that that really set me back in my chair.
It's very distressing. I agree with you.
We consider that wall of historical value to this city. I consider it the gateway to Sylvania. I think removing that wall, make a wider sidewalk or whatever the plans are, it's just not worth it to the historical value. I believe this council could end this right now, but if I just make And then future generations that want to tear down our wall would have a pretty tough time. So we look forward to meeting with ODOT and your representatives from the city and looking through this.
And Jeff, I'm told the reason that they're considering the need to relocate the wall, we would never let it go away entirely, but to relocate it is a necessary for a multi-use path on the north side of Monroe Street. Right now there's a sidewalk that's adjacent to the street. I walk that occasionally and it's not very good. And the new expressway interchange will only have pedestrian on the north side of the bridge. So we want to bring that along the north side of Monroe Street. We're going to have to find a way to keep the wall untouched and have room for that multi-use path. Another challenge will be...
Because the way the drawing is, the wall is actually below the street level of the drawing. It is now.
Until I really started looking at that a few years ago when we redid Monroe Street, I used to think that that wall would be up from the street, but it's down from the street. That must have been done years ago when Monroe Street was improved.
So, yeah, when you reworked Monroe Street, I don't know, 15 years ago?
I don't think it was then. That was just repaving. When it was widened to four lanes, before my memory is when that would have happened,
when
I think.
When they did that, they also lowered Monroe Street in front of our west gate, which makes it very difficult for people to...
They were probably trying to level Monroe Street.
To level it up.
Yeah, that's a bump going in there. You can see where people bottom out there all the time.
Yeah, a limousine has to do a left turn into our east gate because they actually kind of teeter on there, so we have to.
That's not good. It's in discussions like this and with the engineer and with ODOT that all these issues can be put on the table and solutions found to all of them. But by an engineer, it's not in the community drawing it. We're going to start with these problems. We'll ride herd on it.
Unfortunately, I'm not an engineer. I'm a grade digger. And I'm very connected to my cemetery.
Okay.
Look back three generations.
And you do a wonderful job taking care of that cemetery.
Appreciate it. I'm looking forward to working on this. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jeff.
Can I put one more thing on the table? What if the walkway was on the other side of the wall?
I've asked that question as well.
Because it's pleasant on that side.
I asked, why can't we put the pedestrian crossing on the south side? And it has to do with the number of crossings that the pedestrian walkway would go across because of the off-ramp and the on-ramp getting on the expressway, and also the trouble with the closeness of the Kroger store and the BP fuel canopy to the right-of-way. Both of which would probably be too close. The Kroger store is already way too close.
Well, I was thinking on the other side of the cemetery wall. So instead of putting the multi-use path, like expanding that sidewalk, that's not going to be pleasant either. Even if it's wide, you're still going to look like a homeless person.
Put the multi-use path inside.
Because it's pleasant to walk on that side.
Are there any graves or anything there now? Are there any graves that close?
No, there aren't.
I know that site was reserved for a funeral home 20 years ago.
Might still be, but maybe it can all work out together somehow.
That's another thought. Joe heard it, so
all right.
We can talk about it. All right. Thank you. Moving on to added agenda item 7B, a brief discussion of Heritage Sylvania year-end. Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know I talk every month, but you won't have to worry about it next month.
And we'll miss it.
Oh, well, I could periodically show up. I just wanted to let you know that Heritage Sylvania has done a good job this year with the funds that you gave us. We turned in our final request, and it for the 12 months ending, our year runs a little different. It ends in November, the end of November. Instead of spending the $160,000 that you allotted us, we spent $135,000. So what that shows me, and I know it to be true, last year was a tough budget time, and I took that to our board, and I I repeatedly would remind them that times are tough, you know, and we did many things to save money and to stay within budget to the point that we were $25,000 less than what you allotted for us. So I think that proves the point that this, that the Heritage Sylvania is out for the better of the city of Sylvania, that we have done a good job of with the money that you've given us to take care of the buildings, the 12 buildings that we have to take care of, as well as continue with our programs and continue paying our executive director. I'm hoping that you will reward us all by attending the silent auction, Deck the Halls for History, which is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday from Friday 5 to 8 and Saturday from noon to 5. Come in, see the, I was there today. There's some beautiful things up for auction, and bring your friends with that have money in their pockets as well, and come visit us. It looks beautiful. If you come for no other reason than to see the decor of the museum, it is beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Hussman. Next on the agenda is our executive session to discuss a possible purchase of property and potential litigation. There is possibility that we will take action coming out of executive session concerning the purchase of property. I don't think there's anything that'll happen after the executive session concerning the potential litigation. Is there a motion to adjourn into executive session, executive committee, executive session?
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Will the clerk please call the roll? And we thank Mrs. Bigelow for being here tonight.
Mr. Brock?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
Yes.
Mrs. Hussman?
Yes.
Mr. Lukey?
Yes.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
The vote is 6-0. Let's take a few minute break, and I need to ask all of us in the house, it's an executive session.
6-0. We are opening the doors to the lobby, inviting people back into the council chamber. At this time, I can report that during our executive session, two items were discussed. One was potential purchase of property, and the other is potential litigation. As a result of the discussion of the possible purchase of property, we are distributing to council ordinance number 98-2019 for the purpose of authorizing the mayor, director of finance, to enter into an office to purchase property located at 8515 Sylvania Medinara Road, known as the Brown property. It is west of the existing forestry building for a purchase price of $225,000, and there are contingencies before that project property will close. We have that on the table. Mrs. Westfall is not here. Mr.
Lukey,
you are the president
for the temporary. Sure, Mr. Mayor. You'll have to ask for an extension of my contract if I read this, but I'm happy to do so. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 98-2019. Copies have previously been distributed to members of council. Therefore, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to enter into an offer to purchase the property located at 8515 Sylvania Metamora Road, Sylvania, Lucas County, Ohio, 43650, owned by Rebecca S. Brown, Russell D. Brown, and Cynthia L. Alt for the amount of $225,000. Providing the funds for said purchase, authorizing the payment of the purchase price, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
That ordinance 98-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of ordinance number 98-2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 98-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 98-2019 is approved. Thank you. Mr. Richardson.
There is a typo.
Yeah.
Small typo on that. I don't know if that's going to affect us down the road, but the zip code has got a number switch.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
You read it correctly.
I think they read it correctly.
You read it the way it was on here, but that's not what.
I read it correctly.
You read it.
You read what was on.
No, you put in the right zip code, but the zip was incorrect. All right. That brings us to the end of our agenda. On the information items, you'll see that there is a letter from ODOT talking about the bridge funding for the replacement of the Silica Drive Bridge that would be scheduled for 2023. It's a very good funding program. We're glad it's there, and we're going to try to incorporate it into the same construction schedule as the intersection improvements. And then one other item, which I think you got an email on today, but I'll do it again. The Lucas County 911 committee meeting was delayed from this month, or from November to December. And it is now currently scheduled for December the 10th at 8:30 a.m. if you're interested in attending. They delayed the meeting, at least at first, because one of the five representatives on that board had a death in the family and could not attend. And I think they had trouble setting up the next date, but that is now set for next week on the 10th. So that's next Tuesday at 8:30 a.m.
Mr. Mayor, in regards to that, who is the city and village representative?
The last I heard was it was the village of Ottawa Hills had not yet voted, and the vote before that was 4-4. I do not know the outcome of the Ottawa Hills village vote or if they took it.
Okay.
We are pretty sure the townships are going to vote against it. The city, small city and village vote will depend on Ottawa Hills vote, and then we think the other three votes are in favor.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. With that, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting 2 weeks from tonight on Monday, December the 16th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.